Please remain standing with me tonight and turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. Tonight we'll be looking at the first 9 verses, Isaiah 7, 1 through 9. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. And the Lord said to Isaiah, "Go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear-Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. And say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands, at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves, and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, and it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all." You may be seated. Please hear me. Father, thank you for your word tonight. We thank you for this passage in the book of Isaiah. We pray again tonight that you would keep our ears and our hearts attentive to your word. Keep us alert at this hour of the evening as we study your word, as we focus on this truth. We pray that your spirit would make clear to us the words of this passage. Help me, in spite of my weaknesses, in proclaiming that truth, to proclaim only your truth. We pray that you would be glorified, your people would be edified. In Jesus' name. So now we've moved on from this vision that Isaiah had in chapter 6 of God on his throne, and then Isaiah's commission to ministry. And God sends now the prophet Isaiah out to meet with King Ahaz. So I ask you tonight, how attentive are we to God's word? How attentive are we to God's word? Do we heed it? Do we listen to it? Not only on Sundays when the Word of God is preached, but do we take advantage of daily Bible reading and study so that we can learn and so we can grow in our faith? I encourage you to spend some time each day in God's Word. We're so blessed today to have the availability of Scriptures that we enjoy. We have it. Let us not ignore it. May God use it in our lives to conform us more and more into the image of the Son. Do we pray when we read God's word as we ought to pray? Do we pray? Lord, use this, your word, in my life. Help me to apply what I read or what I hear. If you have a habit of daily being in God's word, I encourage you to diligently continue on in that habit and to pray also as you read God's word. The more that we read, the more that we know, the better that we understand. Do not simply make it a goal to read through God's word once in your lifetime, but perhaps once a year. Continue to study. Continue to learn. And the more you read and the more that God's Spirit works in your life, the easier it is for us to stand upon the truth of God's word, to not let the winds of doctrine move us and sway us. The easier it is for us, the more we understand God's word, the easier it is for us to trust in God. The easier it is for us to embrace his providence. This morning we started with the first 3 verses of Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. To the choir master of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling, Selah. I ask you, is God our refuge and our strength? Are we trusting in him? Are we resting in Him. No matter what happens on the earth, politically, natural disasters, the earth giving away, those mountains moving, the oceans roaring, or even with sickness and disease, no matter what happens, God is a refuge. God is our strength. We trust in Him. He is our all in all. He knows best. Sometimes it doesn't seem like that when we're in the midst of a trial or when we're in the midst of trouble. But it is the truth. We can trust Him, and we need to learn to trust Him more. Isaiah is going to now take a message to the king. Things seem very bleak at this point. Nations are arrayed against Israel. But will Ahaz trust what he sees with his own eyes or the threats that are coming from these other kingdoms? Or will he trust in the Lord, the God of Israel? In whom do you trust? Do you trust in men or in God? In many ways, authority and credibility have been seriously damaged in the last year. People in power have shown themselves in many ways to be very untrustworthy. Some with good motivations, others with bad motivations. In whom do you trust? And where lies your hope? Today we can divide this passage, these first 9 verses here of Isaiah chapter 7, into 2 sections. The first 2 verses here give us the historical context of when this took place. And then verses 3 through 9 give us Isaiah's message to King Ahaz. So verses 1 and 2. In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, son of Uzziah, king of Judah, Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel, came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but could not yet mount an attack against it. When the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. This situation that Isaiah is dealing with here is regarding a war between Judah and Israel, who is united with Syria, who conspired against the country of Judah. This is approximately in 734 to 732 BC, about that period of time. So about 10 to 12 years before the Assyrians conquer Samaria and that northern kingdom of Israel. And we notice here in verse 2 that Syria is in league with Ephraim. Now, this is not to discount those other 9 tribes that made up that kingdom of Israel in the north. If you remember, the northern kingdom had 10 tribes. But Ephraim stands for all of that kingdom of Israel. And the first king of the northern kingdom, Jeroboam, was from that tribe of Ephraim. So King Ahaz in Judah, he hears that Syria and Ephraim are working together against Jerusalem. In fact, verse 1 says that they came up to Jerusalem to wage war against it, but they could not yet mount an attack. Ahaz is the current king, and he's the current leader of the house of David. But notice what it says here at the end of verse 2. The heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. Ahaz hears of this threat, and he, as the king, is afraid, and because of that, the people are afraid. Leaders bear great responsibility for those who look up to them for guidance. If the king is afraid, the people will be afraid. If the king shows courage, the people will show courage. So leaders need to lead by example. Again, this is not a do what I say and not what I do. We are familiar with that phrase, more is caught than taught. People are looking. People will see how you and I, as believers in Christ, respond to situations in our lives. People will follow our examples as believers in Christ. If people do not see a difference in you and I as Christians, then why should they or why would they see a need for Jesus Christ? If people do not see any hope in us, if we are hopeless, then why would they ask us about the hope that we have? If we are not being salt and being light, why would people around us see any merit to Christianity? Are we living in such a way that we are indeed aliens and exiles in this world? People ought to see that you and I, as believers in Christ, see the world differently. We view death differently. We view sickness differently. We view Sunday differently. We view money differently. We view entertainment differently. We are different. Do we live that way? Can people see to whom we belong simply by watching us, by observing us? If someone followed you around all day and you didn't say a word and they just watched what you did, would people know to whom you belong? I hope so. I pray so. Ahaz was fearful in this situation, and so were his people. There are times in our life that we all get down, we get discouraged. Sometimes we get fearful. We're not exempt from feelings or emotions, but we also have perspective and we have truth to help us. This is not a matter of faking it here. Ahaz, pretend that there's no threat out there. That's not what's being called for. But Ahaz needs someone to remind him of the truth. So God sends the prophet Isaiah to Ahaz. God sends him, and that's the graciousness and the providence of God. The king is troubled. The king's heart is shaking. So God sends his prophet. Verses 3 through 9. And the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz, you and Shear Jashub, your son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool on the highway to the washer's field. And say to him, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Because Syria with Ephraim and the son of Remaliah has devised evil against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and terrify it, and let us conquer it for ourselves and set up the son of Tabeel as king in the midst of it. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand. And it shall not come to pass. For the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim will be shattered from being a people. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is the son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. How gracious of God to send this message of peace to a king who is worried and fearful. God sends his prophet to speak these words to Ahaz. And God tells Isaiah, take your son with you. Isaiah's son here is named Shear Jashub. Take your son with you, your little son, to go meet the king. Now that's kind of unusual. But when we know the name of this son and its meaning, and his meaning, this too is very significant. For the name Shear Jashub means a remnant shall return. So we have in the name of Isaiah's son a message of promise and also of disaster. There is disaster coming. We've read of the woes. God's people will be judged. Historically, we can know the dates when each kingdom fell. Isaiah goes to the king with his son, named a remnant shall return. God will also have a remnant for himself. God will always preserve a remnant of his people. Matthew Henry, in his commentary, states that God ordered him to take his little son with him, for he carried a sermon in his name. He carried a sermon in his name. God is giving a message to the king. God will bring disaster upon the northern kingdom. God will preserve those who are his. Now, some commentators suggest that maybe Ahaz was out on this highway out to the washer's field because he was concerned about the water supply in Jerusalem. After all, enemies are coming to attack. If there was to be a siege, how would they get water? These nations are against them. But God gives Isaiah exact instructions as to where to meet the king. And Isaiah goes and he gives him a message. Not just the name of his son that he brings with him, but he also gives a specific message to this king. He says, be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart faint because of these two smoldering stumps of firebrands at the fierce anger of Rezin and Syria and the son of Remaliah. Be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint. Words of strength, words of encouragement to the king. These two kingdoms that are coming against you, they're about to be destroyed. They're just smoldering stumps of firebrands. God is sovereign. God already knows what is yet to take place. God knows what's coming next. The king does not. Ahaz doesn't know, but God does. Damascus, the capital of Syria, was conquered in 732 BC. And Samaria, the capital of Israel, was conquered in 722 BC. So shortly, God will act. Isaiah is telling King Ahaz to trust in God. Be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint. Trust in God, Ahaz. Trust in God. The issue is not politics. What kingdom is more powerful than yours? But it's an issue of faith. It's an issue of faith. In whom do you trust? In whom do you trust? Ahaz had been sent a message from God's prophet. How many times do we put our trust into princes, into politics, into experts, instead of in the Lord our God? Are we fearful? Are our hearts faint? Are we resting in God? Do we fear the things that we see with our eyes? Are we living by faith or are we living by sight? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 7 through 18. Paul is writing here in his second letter to the church in Corinth. He's speaking now of his trials that he has faced as an apostle and trials that he is facing. So 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 7, Paul says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way but not crushed, perplexed but not driven to despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what has been written, I believed and so I spoke. We also believe, and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal." King Ahaz, those things that you see with your eyes, those kingdoms that are arising against you and coming against Jerusalem, they're transient. That which is unseen is eternal. Paul is focusing his attention as an apostle here in 2 Corinthians, not on the hardships that he endures as an apostle, but on the truth of what is unseen. Ahaz, are you going to trust what you see with your own eyes? Perhaps those armies are gathering. Or are you going to trust in the Lord? Are you going to trust in his word, his faithfulness, his message of truth? Or are you going to fear because of the things that you see? Ahaz, God has given you a message of encouragement. And the same is true for us as well. Will we trust in the Lord or will we trust in the things that we see? As we look out in our world today, we do see great cause for alarm. We see health issues and threats. We see political trials and troubles. We see oppression. We see sin, we see lies and falsehood, we see injustice, we see enemies of the church. There is a lot, if we want to look hard enough, outside of these windows to make our hearts fear. We can be caught up in what we see with our eyes. We can be tempted to fear and tempted to worry, to put our faith in the wrong things. We too need the message today. Be careful, be quiet, do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint. Why do we worry when God is trustworthy? Why do we worry when God is trustworthy? Why do we fret? That doesn't mean that we'll never face loss or suffering, but do we trust God as our Father to have our best interests at heart? Do we trust that He indeed cares for us? He who did not spare His own Son. Romans 8:31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, will He not also with Him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Jesus Christ is the one who died. More than that, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. King Ahaz, if the God of all creation says, do not fear, you should trust Him. You should trust Him. If the God who redeemed and protected and preserved Israel says to not let your heart be faint, you should trust Him. What reason would there be to not trust in God? What reason? Christian, if the God of the universe who sent His only Son to redeem you from slavery to sin and to give you the gift of eternal life is powerful enough to save you, why would you not trust Him? Why would you fear anything? Why would you and I fear enemies or disease or corrupt leaders or sin or anything else in all the world? Why would we not trust in the name of the Lord our God? Why would we not rest in Him? Why would we have any cause to fear? Why? Ahaz, these kings who are coming against you, these kings who are coming against your city, they will not succeed. In fact, they're just smoldering stumps. God has already proclaimed His judgment against those nations. God has already decreed whatsoever comes to pass. Their plans will not work. They can't set up a faulty king, Tabeel. He's not of the lineage of King David. Their plan will not work. The Lord is sovereign. He controls the king's heart. The Lord voids the counsels of kings and kingdoms. The Lord voids the counsel of kings and kingdoms. The Lord is over all. Again, I ask you, do we trust Him? Do we trust Him? Ephraim will be shattered. Notice part of the message says within 65 years. So maybe not everything is going to take place within your lifetime, Ahaz, but God's word is sure. Do you trust Him? Jesus said, and do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather fear Him who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Do we fear God like we should? Do we fear God like we should? We could be persecuted for our faith. We could have to give up our very lives for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Should we fear the one who can destroy the body? We may face deadly disease and our bodies are weak and frail and our bodies are prone to sickness and illness. If our bodies fail, and we come face to face with death, shall we fear that which can destroy the body? Are we fixing our eyes on what is seen or what is unseen? Do we have only a temporal perspective, or do we also have an eternal one? Ahaz, be careful. Be quiet. Do not fear, and do not let your heart be faint. Ahaz, remember the one who is sovereign. Again, I ask you, in whom is your trust? Are we trusting in the God who knows all and who is over all? Or are we trusting more in men or in circumstance? Let us heed this message to Ahaz from the prophet Isaiah. And Isaiah's message here ends with words of resolve and a reminder, if you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. If you are not firm in faith, you will not be firm at all. Steadfastness. Are we steadfast in Him? Are we firm in the things that we believe to be true, or do we waver? Do we trust Him? That's the question. Ahaz, I know that the enemies are coming. I know that they are plotting. They have set their eyes against Jerusalem. Do not fear. Do not be dismayed. Be careful. At times we can look quiet on the outside and we can put on a good act for others and still be fearful and anxious on the inside. Ahaz, be careful. Be quiet. Do not fear. Quiet your fearful soul. Rest in the Lord. These are very pertinent words to us today. We need to be resting in God instead of in all the uncertainties and the fears of this world. Our world has gone crazy with fear in the past year. We need to make sure that we're not following that same example. Are you resting in the Lord this night? Think of your greatest concerns tonight. Those things that threaten to keep you up at night. Those things in your life today that bother you the most. Be careful. Be quiet. Do not fear. Rest in the Lord. Trust in His goodness and trust in His kindness to you. If He is concerned about your salvation, why should we not trust Him with the other issues of our lives? The king's heart shook, and the heart of his people shook. In many ways, our hearts shake. May God help us to rest and to trust, even when that's difficult, even when that's hard for us to do, even when we're tempted to fear. May we have eyes to see the truth. The truth of God's word. May we remember what God has done, His faithfulness. One of the greatest ways for us to not fear is to be in God's word and be reminded of those great promises of God and what He has already done for us. If God is for us, who can be against us? We need to be reminded, and I praise God that He has given us this day and these times of worship to remind us of His truth. The world beats us down. The world wearies our hearts, but today is refreshing as we pause and we remember God and remember His faithfulness to His people. A message of judgment against Israel and Syria, but a message of hope this time for Judah. God is faithful. God preserves His people. Will we trust Him? Please join me in prayer. Father, we thank You that You are trustworthy, that You are gracious, and that You are loving. Help us when our hearts shake. Help us when we are fearful of many, many things. Help us to see with eyes of faith. And that's not to discount that there are true concerns in our world today. There are many things that are troubling. But help us, even in the midst of trial and hardship and even suffering at times, to lean upon You and trust You for the grace that You give to us. Help us this night to be at rest. We pray in Jesus' name.